not supposed in the sense of cosmic purpose, but in the sense that if your now deceased Christian grandparent knew that you weren't here today, they tidily remove themselves from their caskets or urns and haunt you until you showed up. Perhaps you are here today because the doctors have said, we've exhausted all our options. There is an experimental treatment, but it's just that, an experiment, and we can't make any promises. Perhaps you are here today because this is just where you always come today. You came here when you were pregnant with your first and with your second, and now you're pregnant with your third. There's a pattern there this time of year, and this is just what you do. Perhaps the last time you were here, you were going through a painful divorce. And now all of that is resolved, and you can talk to each other again without cussing under your breath. Perhaps you're here and you're traversing a painful divorce, and there is no end in sight. Or perhaps you're here because you just want to try something new. They told you, go to church. Church will help. God will help. One of the humbling dimensions of being a parish priest, of shaking numerous hands, hugging innumerable necks, of baptizing adults and babies alike, burying the dead of all ages, and solemnizing those seeking the grace of a sacramental marriage is the realization that I do not get to choose who or how or why a person walks through or is wheeled through or is carried through those doors. My priest in college always welcomed us to church by saying, I don't know how you got here, but it is God who drew you here. I hope he still says that. I hope he still says this because it is true. It is the beautiful, compelling good news of this and every day in Christ. All that we are and all that we've been and all that will be is God's. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it, St. Ignatius of Loyola prayed nearly 500 years ago. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. It is this God of splendor, of beauty, this God of goodness and grace and truth and love who exists at the center of creation, wooing you, drawing you, delighting in you, appreciating every one of your quirks, your idiosyncrasies, challenges, and joys, who reaches across time and space in the person of Jesus Christ to say, I am here to tell you the truth about who you are. You are not what you produce, or the influence you exert, or the number of people who follow you on TikTok. You are who I say you are, treasured, cherished, and loved. The austerity of this day and the season of Lent, our veiling of crosses and fasting and renewal of our individual and common life through the word and sacraments, is a pruning of illusions. It is a time in which we are given the space, the permission even, to pause and become conscious of the divine love which is both our source and our destination. It is a way to say, like St. Ignatius of Loyola, give me only your grace and your love. That is enough for me. God's word to ancient Israel in the prophet Isaiah is God's word to us on this holy day. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Urgently, tenderly, God is inviting us to say, the grace I've received is the grace I will share. If I, in my human frailty and finitude, have experienced the gift that is God's infinite and steady love, who am I to stand in its way of loosing the bonds of injustice, of undoing oppressive yokes and breaking the chains of violence in the lives of other people, communities, and nations? The grace, forgiveness, and hope we receive in the waters of baptism and are sustained by at the altar behind me are pure and gratuitous gifts. They're gifts. God has just lavished them on you. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. Sorry to break it to you. A lifetime of virtuous deeds won't make you deserving of it. It is an explosive, life-altering, history-changing gift. It is love. One of the Bible's great creation myths, and there are two in the Bible, also hate to break that to you, is found in Genesis. After 5 days of singing creation into existence, God decides to form human beings from the dust of the earth. God takes a lump of dirt, ashes, soil, and breathes into it. This act of creating is a gift, pure, gratuitous gift. Made from the same matter, the same stuff as stars and coral reefs and thunderous waterfalls and other creatures, God placed within each human being the capacity to pray, to imagine, to love. And according to the Russian Orthodox priest, Alexander Shmaimon, the vocation God gifts to the original human beings is that of Homo Adorans, the praying person, the worshipful person. And one dimension of sin, or the illusion of estrangement from God, and it is just that, an illusion, since we cannot actually be estranged from the one who formed and created and made and imagined us. That's a different sermon for a different time. Is things or structures or relationships that say that we are self-made, that we are not in need of other people, that we're here for ourselves. Ash Wednesday is a threshold of this holy season, is its own kind of gift, because it's ashes and bread and wine that speak of our shared humility and shared humor of being human, of knowing that our limitations are just the beginning of God's manifold kaleidoscopic grace. That when we laugh at ourselves and our finitude and mistakes, we are opening ourselves up to new possibilities in loving and being loved. So whatever brings you here today, know this. It is God in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is drawing you, wooing you, coaxing you into relationship, into connection, into community, saying, I am enough for you. You are certainly enough for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.